WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Department of Homeland Security releases its findings on the failed response to the Uvalde, Texas school shooting that left 19 students and two teachers dead. Reporter Chris Fox.
The 203-page report spells out the significant flaws in how Customs and Border Patrol agents, as well as local and state officials, responded to the shooting, waiting 77 minutes before taking down the gunman.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are back on the campaign trail. Harris tells North Carolina supporters,
"We owe it to the voters to have another debate."
The former president in Arizona says no more debates. A Georgia judge dismisses two criminal counts in the state's 2020 election interference case against Trump, as well as one other count against allies of the former president. CBS legal contributor Jessica Levinson explains why.
It's not a good day for the prosecution, not because they didn't have enough evidence, but because what judge is saying here is, you filed this in the wrong place.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water levels are low on the Mississippi River. That's making things tough for shippers and Wisconsin farmers. Jimmy Kuska reports.
The USDA says that grain shipping is being limited, especially around St. Louis, as officials deal with water levels as low as they've been the last 2 years. In the last week of August alone, grain shipping dropped 17%. The effects will mostly be felt by farmers, with costs up 57% compared to the three-year average. Costs this year are up 8% over last year. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Waukesha County executive is diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Paul Farrow says he plans to keep working through his chemotherapy treatments. Farrow's been Waukesha County executive since 2015. Before that, he served in the state legislature. He announced the news to the public in a YouTube video this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers go from QB1 to QB2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Jordan Love out for a few weeks with an MCL sprain, Malik Willis is stepping into the starting quarterback spot in Green Bay. Willis says he's staying focused on Indianapolis and doing what he can to help the team.
It's Wednesday. I'm not worried about that. It's just continuing to work each day this week and gain more and more confidence in the guys and have them gain more confidence in me if that's the plan, or just be ready to go if Jordan can go. And that's all up to Jordan.
The Packers play the Colts this Sunday. Each team will be looking for its first win. The Brewers were blown out in San Francisco 13-2 on Wednesday. Milwaukee has lost 6 of its past 9 games, but the Brewers still lead the NL Central by 8.5 games over the Cubs. The Brewers and Giants wrap up their series today. On Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight and warmer with lows in the mid-60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs to the upper 70s. Partly sunny for the weekend, highs around 80 degrees, a slight chance of showers and storms, and a little more humid. It's 71 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska drops by to give us a preview of this weekend's Packer game. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kaitiki to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're here with Arbina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and, you know, we're going to talk pretty much the whole show about the debate, and I just want to say before we get to you, Arbina, I want to give a big shout-out to the people that were at the watch party and the big applause that you gave our show. There was a couple hundred people there. We really appreciate you, and I was kind of embarrassed because Haley, as you know, our show is really your show and the guest show. I'm just a conduit, so I'm always glad to be here. And Arbina, welcome. What do you say? I feel really good again.
I'm feeling, again, this cautious optimism. I think the biggest lesson of 2016 that I learned was not to be overly optimistic or think we have anything in the bag. So, you know, I'm optimistic. I think that, you know, that Vice President Harris's performance was, I mean, I'm having a hard time coming up with negatives. And it seems to be fairly universal that her performance has been graded as top notch. You know, I've heard some people say that, and here I sound like Trump, so I hear some people say, but I could probably find the videotapes of it or like the clips of it if I needed to. So I can at least back it up, saying that this debate was one of the finest performances of a televised debate ever. And, you know, it was really masterful to watch. I mean, she just had, she was in control 100% of the time of the entire situation from when she walked out. I mean, going over and crossing over and basically, you know, starting, you know, asserting her dominance by going over to shake his hand. He wasn't going to do it.
No.
And she basically cornered him. And I like that when she introduced herself, she said, "Hi, I'm Kamala Harris," and like with her full name and everything. You know, it's the first time they've ever met because he did not participate in the peaceful transfer of power when the Biden administration was sworn in. So they'd never met in person before, which was crazy to me.
Very crazy. And added on to that, he would not. They started right away with the question about did he win the election or not? And he could not answer that in a good way.
I mean, that was really the beginning. We could say that's the beginning of the end. Yeah. His first question, you know, none of his questions or none of his answers really answered the questions that he was being asked. You know, they asked him later about that again and saying how he said, well, we lost by a whisker, and tried to play that off as being sarcasm, to which moderator David Muir said, I didn't note any sarcasm in that, in your voice. So the fact checking was also great to have, and that the burden was not put solely on Vice President Harris to correct him when he was wrong. I was grateful for that too.
Well, that was awesome. And I love the fact that she said straight out, world leaders are laughing at Donald Trump, and then his backup by talking about a dictator who liked him.
Yeah, was it Viktor Orban that he brought up? Like,
exactly.
Come on. Like that did leave me speechless. I was, you know, there's that old WWE clip with, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, I forget the name. But he's there. Don't do it, John. Yeah. Like, he jumps off the highest rope. That's kind of how I felt in that moment, was like, oh my God, she's doing it. And when she says that that even people, that military officers that worked under him,
mm-hmm.
were, you know, embarrassed by him and laughed at him, you know, that is absolutely the one thing that will set that guy off. If, I mean, we know there's lots of things that set him off, but anything that has to do with his ego or the perception of him as anything less than some crazy strongman with giant hands, you know, like, that's, he just loses his mind. And the first time she did it too, when she said, I want to invite you to his rallies because you're going to see people get bored and leave. Yeah. And
she was masterful in pushing his buttons, because all of a sudden it sounded like one of his rallies, and he went off script.
Completely off script. I mean, that moment where she brought up his rallies was like the real derailment of the debate. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. I mean, she was not subtle about baiting him, you know, like we all saw her do it, you know, and thought, oh my God, like, he's not, you know, you would think with somebody other than Donald Trump is not going to fall for that bait and answer the question, or, you know, take it off to whatever planned talking points that he had. But he can't help it. And I think the most powerful part of this debate was the vice president showing how truly easily manipulated he is. And that, you know, when you think about it, you can't really, how can you trust somebody to take a stand on something or to act in the best interests of the American people when, you know, the people he praises are people like Viktor Orban and Kim Jong-un. And then he's completely swayed by somebody saying something about him. I mean, it goes the other way too. Say something positive about him and he's eating out of your hand. Say right. something negative to him and he's just like storms off in a huff. I mean,
well,
it's very dangerous to have in your commander in chief, to have someone who's so easily manipulated.
Well, and you didn't mention our friend in Russia too, because, you know, he was asked about Ukraine to stop, you know, he said, I want to stop to the war, I want to save lives, when he asked about Ukraine, but he didn't say anything like he would support Ukraine. He'd wanted to end it right away. And I don't know what that meant. Helping Russia is what it meant to me.
I mean, excuse me, that's what I heard as well, was definitely, it was not a even half-hearted attempt to, and I think as Native people that we can kind of, we can like relate to the idea of protecting your sovereignty, you know, and that's what Ukraine is doing. They're protecting their borders. Trump talks about borders all the time, and to not be able to extrapolate the importance of a secure border for the U.S. to then say, oh, but Ukraine should definitely let this foreign nation come in and overrun them. Like, that's definitely what is important right now. It's absolutely wild to see that he can't extrapolate from there and see and empathize with another country.
Yeah, well, and hopefully someday in our lifetime or my lifetime, we'll see all this come out about how Russia's been funding his campaign and his businesses, because the banks in the United States don't want to back somebody that's had 6 or 7 bankruptcies and lost millions and millions of dollars for them. So, yeah. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just kind of having a good flashback from a couple days ago. Let's keep it up. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we love those guys. We're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and of course, my sidekick and Chujunk Haley Cherry, producing the show. Hey, Arvina, so as the beginning, I didn't know how it would roll. I was nervous in the beginning, and the audience was really laughing at Trump, and I think I was too during the beginning. And then I said, oh, wait a minute. This guy's got 60 million people following him, or at least 55 million now, that believe in this stuff.
I mean, yeah, that is something that we have to realize, is that when we are watching this and seeing this, you know, clown show, for lack of a better term, of a debate on his side, you know, that the polls are still really close. A lot of them are still within the margin of error of each other. So like, that basically means like things are really, really close, basically tied in a lot of places. And we have to remember, and that's why it's really important to me that we don't get complacent and see it, because I actually just read a quote from Carl Sagan about how the longer that you've been bamboozled, the less likely you are to get out of it. because it's kind of like that sunken cost fallacy where you put in all this time and to realize that you're wrong is really hard. And so, you know, a lot of these people who have been drinking this Kool-Aid since 2016, 2015, whenever he rolled down that magic escalator to his candidacy, you know, they've been in this for 8 years now. And to have a research or to have a realization that you've been bamboozled and you've been lied to and everything that you've believed and trusted is real. That's a really, really hard realization to make. You know, we do have all of these people that are out there, that are basically just like I imagine a lot of these people are people that are hanging on to the idea for their own ego rather than because this is truly what they believe in, that they see it, but they don't want to see it.
Right. Their best defense, though, what I've noticed, if I put something on Facebook, for instance, if somebody that's a Trump supporter will put up and say stuff about it, and I'm thinking, well, you would have never voted for Joe Biden or Kamala or, Clinton. So why are you even talking on my Facebook? You're just trying to make yourself feel better. I know one of the things that I saw from the right side on Facebook during and after was that, oh, she has no plan. And I'm thinking, and Trump does. Oh, she's changing her song and dance, you know, and I think that was about renewable energy and fracking. Yeah. And it's just like, is that all you got? Because look at what he's saying and doing. And now you're trying to make yourself feel better that she may be changing her ideas on some, which I think is a sign of a great leader.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we need, I mean, there's a difference between flip-flopping and then also, excuse me, like learning new information about a topic or a policy idea or something, a situation. You want to be able to take in more information and have your opinion evolve as that information becomes available to you. That's what, I mean, that's part of science. That's how people do experiments. You know, the scientific method is looking for more information and not necessarily information to support what you're saying, but information that better informs you of the reality of the situation that you're trying to deal with. So, you know, I think that a change in opinion, especially if it can be explained by this is what I've learned since I had that opinion, I think is very normal and very thoughtful. I saw
I don't know if it was a TikTok with Mark Cuban, and Mark Cuban's self-made billionaire, and he said that the vice president's been in touch with him about economic stuff and business stuff. And that's, to me, is the way it should be. You know, of course, he's a Democrat, but also he knows maybe the limits that the billionaires can go when it comes to taxes or things like that, where, you know, at least he's reaching out and trying to gather information. And I think that's, I guess, my point. And he was very positive with how open she was to discussing things, maybe not agreeing, but discussing things.
And we can have discussions and that have disagreements. people interpreting facts in different ways, you know, that happens. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's how we build consensus. Mm-hmm. That's how we learn. And that's how we, like I said, get better interpretations of what is actually happening by getting more information.
I mean, right. Well, and I don't know if this is a good example, and if you know your history about the Kennedy administration, but McNamara was the Secretary of State, and where did he come from? He came from the Ford Motor Company. He was the president of Ford. So, I mean, you know, that's reaching out to the community of experts that maybe things that you don't know. But then again, the Vietnam War started with him too. So let's edit this out. No, I'm just kidding.
Give me a mixed bag on McNamara. but Kamala Harris has said that she would consider, you know, Republicans for cabinet positions. And to me, that shows that she is going with the people that she thinks are best equipped for the job and not necessarily using, you know, cabinet positions as some kind of political cherry to give, or what is the expression? It's not a cherry, but a political, you know, plum.
Oh,
that's what it, a different fruit. yeah. So that might not be right either, but I'm pretty sure it is. But in any case, you know, that she's not going to shy away from people disagreeing with her. And I actually think that is, you know, part of how she has learned this role by being vice president to Joseph Biden. Mm-hmm. You know, when they first interacted at the Democratic presidential candidate debate, you know, they got into it, and Kamala was very hard on Joe Biden, but that he respected that she told him, talked to him like it is, and wasn't afraid to, you know, share ideas that were, or opinions that didn't align with his fully and completely, you know, that he saw that as a positive. And I know that since she's learned from, you know, kind of at from him about how to be a world leader, you know, I think that having a relationship with him that is not required for her to kiss his sheench all the time, that she can that she can share as she feels comfortable, is a really big deal. And I think that gets us better policy, and that gets us better results in whatever, you know, whatever field that they're trying to work on. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, totally. I just have to, like, go back to a couple things here. And, you know, one of the things that Trump always seemed to have, especially when he was president, because it's funny how he kept on saying, like, he was at a rally saying, this is the worst economy, this is the worst presidency. And then yet he has concepts of a plan when he talks about, like, Obamacare.
Concepts of a plan made me laugh. And now anytime anybody asks me, well, did you do this? I'm like, well, I have concepts of a plan.
It's a t-shirt.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty good, I think I snorted when I heard him say that, like, you know, he already did the job for 4 years. Like, he should have more than concepts. He should at least have a plan that he's familiar with. And talking about Kamala Harris not having a plan, you know, she talked about specific items as she was able, because she had to respond to so much horse pucky that she was, you know, didn't have the same amount of time to talk specifically about her own policy. But she talked about the $50,000 tax relief for new business owners, potential $25,000 for new homeowners. You know, like, these are specific things, and she's bringing them up. But, you know, this is... a debate is not a policy speech, you know, that it has something completely different. And we have seen his policy speeches that devolve into things like, you know, am I going to get electrocuted by a
shark
or a shark attack, or like how great Hannibal Lecter is.
Yeah.
Those are certainly not policy positions at all.
If he said Jim Rockford, I could probably buy into that. But with, you know, from the Rockford Files, I guess I just showed my age.
Not familiar with that one myself. But
I'll send you a Wikipedia. But we're here and with Arvina Martin, and she's executive director of Merge Wisconsin, and. We're going to do another segment here. This is so fun, Arvina, and we're going to pull out some quotes and things. But one thing we only got like 40 seconds before we go to break. I just want to say this again. Mark Cuban said something about the $50,000. It's going to help people start their small businesses, but it's also going to get opportunity.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. CBS News Brief. The Department of Homeland Security releases its findings on the failed response to the Uvalde, Texas school shooting that left 19 students and two teachers dead. Reporter Chris Fox.
The 203-page report spells out the significant flaws in how Customs and Border Patrol agents, as well as local and state officials, responded to the shooting, waiting 77 minutes before taking down the gunman.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are back on the campaign trail. Harris tells North Carolina supporters,
"We owe it to the voters to have another debate."
The former president in Arizona says no more debates. A Georgia judge dismisses two criminal counts in the state's 2020 election interference case against Trump, as well as one other count against allies of the former president. CBS legal contributor Jessica Levinson explains why.
It's not a good day for the prosecution, not because they didn't have enough evidence, but because what judge is saying here is, you filed this in the wrong place.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The candidates for 8th District Congress in Northeast Wisconsin will debate in 2 weeks. More from Lisa Hale.
Democrat Kristen Lierley and Republican Tony Weed have agreed to a debate proposed by the independent nonprofit Mouth Center in Green Bay. The debate will be on September 27th, but no time has been announced yet. It will be televised on WBAY. I'm Lisa Hale.
Appleton has the best tasting tap water in Wisconsin, according to the local utility officials from around the state. The Wisconsin American Water Works Associated held its fall conference in Madison. Appleton sources its water from Lake Winnebago. The city's water ranked highest for taste, odor, and texture. Appleton goes on to the national contest next summer in Denver. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. At Nightlight, we talk about movies and TV and everything involving the arts. Sometimes we get a great suggestion from one of our guests of what we should be watching, and the other night was just such an occasion. Guest and author comedian Roger Rittenhouse recommended the action drama film Rebel Ridge, starring Aaron Pierre and Don Johnson. Pierre is currently working on the Lion King prequel as the voice for Mufasa. Turns out he's pretty good at the live-action stuff, too. He plays a soft-spoken, mysterious victim, or so we think, as he is pitted against a crooked small-town sheriff played by Don Johnson. Also in the film is David Denman. You might know him from the sitcom The Office as Roy, Pam's fiancé. Denman is carving out a nice career for himself, choosing different roles and at times playing offbeat bad guys. The movie is like a smarter version of Rambo. It's available to stream on Netflix, and it's getting a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, warmer with lows in the mid-60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs to the upper 70s. Partly sunny for the weekend, highs around 80 degrees, a slight chance of showers and storms, and a little more humid.
It's 71 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
You feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. We'll get you ready for the big Alabama visiting Wisconsin Badger game and much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Arvina Martin. And Arvina, I want to talk about Emerge Wisconsin just for a second here. And how does something like this affect people that want to run, or how does it affect an organization like you that supports people like that? Can you tell us a little bit about the organization and maybe how a cool debate like this can help?
Yeah. So I'm the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we are an organization that recruits and trains Democratic women and non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we've had fewer women that have wanted to run. And I think it's been pretty clear that the reasons for this have been the very toxic attitudes of people that towards people that run for office, and how politics has become very, you know, in a lot of cases, very Trumpian and very negative. I've had lots of women who would be fantastic public servants say, I don't want my family getting death threats. And I think the importance of Kamala Harris's run is, number one, that she is like completely going away at like a 180 from that very negative and harsh style of campaigning, and leaning into the joyful warrior that she's been called. And I think that the idea of campaigning towards something positive in the future as opposed to against something negative in the past, I think is a way that makes politics more accessible to regular everyday people. You know, people don't want to pay attention when it's all doom and gloom. But if you're talking about things that are positive and things that you want to do and things that you're trying to do out of hope, you know, people feel that, and it feels real, and it feels like something that you want to buy into and you want to participate in. So having this debate, I think, really highlighted that of you know, how people are sick of this negativity and the terrible, you know, ideas. It's just like a gross thunderstorm hanging out, you know, over his head, and it's constant, you know, sourness and anger. I mean, that's not a way that anybody wants to live. And seeing her come out with ideas that are positive, seeing her smiling, like, I can't remember the last time I saw Donald Trump smile. And when it did, it looked like it physically hurt him to do it, to actually smile. So, you know, having something positive to associate with politics, I think does a world of wonders for people that want to participate, because they see something they can believe in, and then they see their place in it. You know, and I think that seeing it come from a very capable, intelligent, smart woman, I think encourages more women to see themselves in that role as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. I just want to add before I get a quote here that I want you to comment on. I also have to add that he never looked at her.
Yeah, that was once. Messed up.
Not once. And she had a lot of cool expressions on her face. And I liked the one when she was holding her chin when he was saying that, you know, that you're a flip-flopper or whatever.
Or that her dad was a Marxist and taught her to be a Marxist. And she kind of just sat there with her hand on her chin like, oh, really?
Well, I got to just say this, too. Here's a crazy fact check. You know, and this was by Lindsay Davis. And she said, there is no state in the country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. And again, I laughed, and then I thought about it and the horror that he's been spreading at his campaign rallies.
Absolutely. And that's the easiest way to shut somebody up who brings up that talking point is, where did this happen? When did this happen? And was, you know, was that person punished if it did in fact happen? Because it hasn't happened. They don't have any evidence of it happening because it didn't. And it doesn't happen. And when there are abortions that are taking place at late term, that usually indicates that there is something tragically wrong with that fetus or that potential child or however you want to frame it. And that there is something with that. And there are lots of conditions, genetic or otherwise, that don't present themselves until later in the pregnancy. And unfortunately, a lot of those complications end up being incompatible with life. And so, and that then it can be very dangerous for the mother. It can be life-threatening for the mother, but it's also very traumatic to have to, you know, carry a child that you know is not going to live. And that's emotionally traumatic and very physically hard to deal with. As someone who is carrying and potentially bearing a child.
Absolutely. I want to talk about, now that we went down this road of fact checking about everyone hiding their cats and dogs. That was the most amazing thing that I heard all night. And again, I laughed and I went, ooh.
I still can't. And you know, there are poor folks in Springfield, Ohio, and there are folks that are Haitian that have to go out there and say they don't eat cats and dogs. Right. Like, how insane is that? That's I very much feel for those communities and having to, you know, go out and say things that shouldn't need to be said, that should be known or understood, or at least, you know, when given a chance to look at what is happening, like, you can go in and again see that there's no credible evidence of anything like that ever happening. And you know, it shows Trump's gullibleness or propensity to believe whatever he hears, because he responded when David Muir fact-checked him. He said, well, I saw it on TV.
Yeah, and then one of the most, like, shameful things that Trump said, I believe, is that he had nothing to do with January 6th, other than they asked me to have a speech. And there's so many things out there where he was telling people to come, and it's going to be big, and it's going to be dangerous way before that. So I don't know, is it? You tell so many lies that it's hard to keep track of all the lies, and some of them get through and people think they're true. I just come from the era when, you know, there was a presidential candidate where a young lady sat on his lap in a boat and it ruined his whole campaign. I mean, that's where I'm from, way back when.
Yeah. Well, and I don't understand how people that especially people who have been imprisoned after being found guilty of rioting and of participating in an armed insurrection. Like how that, him saying, oh, I had nothing to do with it, I just showed up to speak, how that does not piss them off. You know, they stood up for this guy that they thought they believed in. And he's just like, nah, that's not my bad. I didn't do it. He's taking zero responsibility for it. He's not, again, with the how long you've been boondoggled, like it probably hurts their feelings, you know, to admit that they were wrong and that this guy wasn't worth fighting for, when he's like, yep, no, wasn't my bad. Sorry. Yeah. And then lying about Nancy Pelosi and the DC mayor.
Oh, my God.
That there was no protection, when we've seen videos of Nancy Pelosi begging for armed personnel to come in. I mean, we've seen those videos.
Well, amazing thing, and I forget because I'm getting at that age, forget, but the vice president was a senator when that was going down, and a vice president-elect, and she was there. And so that's, to lie to somebody, you know, not only to the country, but to somebody right in your face is just an amazing thing. One of the things, too, Urbina, we're going to have a certain amount of people that are going to vote for him. And, you know, I saw weird stuff on Facebook about how Harris is a liar, or how Harris is changing her ways. And it's just like, is that all you got? Because the last debate, your guy, the former president, and I want to say former president, not introduce him as president like I see a lot of, the former president lied 30 times in the Biden debate.
Yeah. And it's truly, excuse me, it's a truly like, yes for me, none for thee kind of situation where, you know, oh, well, he, you know, he's just stretching the truth a little bit, but her changing her mind or her opinion is a lie. That there's some kind of untruth there because an opinion has changed or a position has changed. They're not the same at all. And to call the one that is certainly not even a little bit egregious, you know, a lie and something awful is just wild to me. And you know, these are people that believed in terms like alternative facts, you know, and truthiness, as a way to get around the fact that their candidate is lying all the time.
Well, 60 million people watch this, which is like kind of MASH last show MASH numbers. That's a lot of people, especially. There was only 30 million on the busiest days of the DNC.
Yeah.
So this was huge. And Urbina, one of the things that I want to say what happened afterwards is really, really huge too, is my friend Taylor Swift, the cat lady, went out there on a limb and said, enough's enough. And she loves our governor.
Yeah, she does. I actually happened to be watching that coverage on MSNBC and Rachel Maddow reading the tweet or the social media post to Governor Walz. And he looked like he was going to cry the whole time. He looked so proud. It was incredible. I loved it so much.
Speaking of proud, we are so happy to always have you on, Urbina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. We're proud of you as being a relative and a Ho-Chunk member of the great nation of Ho-Chunk.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm always happy to be here.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. Ho-wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Fall means back to school, and hands down the best vehicle for the family is the Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. It hauls everything in comfort. Lots of kids? Check. Mountains of sports gear? Check. A band's worth of musical instruments? Check. Multiple science projects and schoolwork? Check. And the Sienna Hybrid gets you fantastic mileage, and it's the safest vehicle I've ever driven, something I will brag about for the rest of my life. The Toyota Sienna is the perfect Minnesota family vehicle. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Greg Bakken here. Like you, I love good, fresh, delicious food. So I want to tell you about this treasure in Roseville called Maverick's Real Roast Beef. Maverick's has the best roast beef sandwiches I've ever had, made fresh every order. Add fries or onion rings dropped in the fryer when ordered, and you have a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef has a lot more than roast beef, so check out their website, maverickbeef.com, or check out the restaurant on Lexington in Roseville.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, welcome back. Say, Haley, we got that was really fun with Arvina, and we'll talk a little bit more. But there's some things happening, and kind of a double-edged sword celebration today for our uncle Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Leonard Peltier's 80th birthday today, September 12th, and it's crazy to just realize how many years or how many birthdays that he's had to spend behind bars now. I don't know, hopefully our listeners know who Leonard Peltier is. If not, I urge you to look up some information on that. But it's, you know, his story and his spirit is why we end our shows with Free Leonard Peltier Now. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Leonard. We're definitely thinking about you.
Absolutely. Free Leonard Peltier Now. Hey, we got a couple things that I know you try to make everything, and so do I, but there's a couple things happening in the next few days or today even.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Thursday. I know you are made it over to the Four Sisters Farmers Market. NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, holds these farmers market on Thursdays through October. So check those out. That's 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. David Huckfeldt, our friend, artist David Huckfeldt, Annie Humphrey, and Shanae Mattson, They put together kind of like a new artist band type of thing. It's called Fire in the Village. They're doing a whole fall tour thing all around the upper Midwest, doing multiple shows in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But their kickoff to their fall tour will be tonight, Thursday, at St. Paul's Turf Club. I know it starts at 8 p.m. Definitely follow them at Fire in the Village on Facebook and Instagram. I know we're helping promote that as well. But it's going to be fun. I know there's going to be music and community art projects as well. It's fun. We've both gotten the chance to talk to David quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And Annie's been around graciously for a while now in the community. Yeah. And we're going to have all three of them on, David, Annie, and Shania, next Tuesday, the 17th. So tune in for that.
Yeah, I have quite a few CDs from Annie, and we should probably start reaching out and using some of that as bumpers soon, too. Great time. And then also we have another musician that we want to talk about too that's coming up real soon here. There's got to be a concert going on for our friend downtown Jada Brown.
Yes, exactly. This is so exciting. So Jada's been on the show in the past a couple times, and we are excited to help promote her new album here. She will be playing Friday, September 13th at Day Block Brewing in Minneapolis. Doors open at 6 p.m. and music starts at 7:30. There are going to be special guests joining her, such as Mike the Martyr, Paradise 2, and more. But this is her kickoff to her release show at Day Block Brewing in Minneapolis.
Yeah, Friday. Definitely. Hey, so we split up during the debate time, and you were at a Native American, what was the title of the place where you were at?
Mukwa Coffee. It's indigenous owned. It's by former rep Jamie Becker Finn. She's the owner.
Right. But what was the event called?
Oh, the watch party?
Yeah.
So the Minnesota DFL and Native American coalitions put on a great watch party at Mukwa. It was, you know, a really great turnout. We actually had to break out some of our powwow chairs and supply those for extra seating. But it was great to be able to be in an indigenous space with other natives who are like-minded and support the same things that we do.
So what was your takeaway from the debate? I know Urbina and I talked about a lot of the quotes and things, but how did you feel like during the debate and how did you feel after the debate? Because I told Urbina, as you know, I was laughing heartily with the crowd and then I kind of took a swallow of my saliva and went, wow, this guy's got people believing his stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think Kamala really just hit it out of the park. I know a lot of different organizations and political platforms have kind of said the same thing. She kind of really won that whole debate that night. I did not expect anything less from Donald Trump. Like you and Arvina were saying, it's wild at the many things that we laugh at that he says that is just absolutely not true. But at the end of the day, it's not funny. It's serious, kind of like that video or that old TikTok. But yeah, it's, you know, I have still people in my family even who kind of throw out these attacks and try to tell me who to vote for and why, and they're women. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? What side are you on here for humanity even? But yeah, I think just the outrageous comments of things that are absolutely not true is really important as to why we have to fact check things. And I'm happy that the moderators were able to do that in live time and not after the fact.
Do a couple at least. There was just too many of them.
Yeah, yeah. I know I saw a couple people on social media putting up blankets or towels over the left hand of their screen so they didn't have to look at Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of interesting looking at him, too, because, again, Arvina mentioned this, too, that we talk about is that he never owned a pet and you've never seen him laugh or seen him smile. No. In a mean way, but I've never heard him laugh other than a evil kind of sinister laugh.
And the fact that he couldn't even acknowledge her or look at her or turn his head in her direction, I think is just so disrespectful. And the whole topic about abortion and, you know, I really stick by what Kamala Harris said and Donald Trump's statements on women who are terminating pregnancies up until the ninth month is extremely, extremely disrespectful. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, though, at what comes out of his mouth at this point.
Or after the pregnancy. That was really interesting and befuddling. It's like, is this a Saturday Night Live skit is what I was wondering.
Yeah, you want to talk about kids being killed after full term? Well, that's called mass school shootings.
There you go. That we could end the show right there with that, no doubt. But I'm serious. It's just like, there it is.
And I was really surprised to hear Kamala say, hey, Donald, you know, I own a gun and so does Tim Walz. No one's trying to take away your guns. That's not the big picture. It's more regulations and more, you know, making it harder. And something I heard the other day on social media was someone had this really great point. We insure things that matter to us, right? We have health insurance, car insurance, insurance even on our cell phones, our iPhones. But why shouldn't people insure their firearms or their guns?
Exactly. Yeah, I felt the same way. And I also felt that way about the police, because if you know something the police department gets sued at, they end up taking money out of the city coffers. So if it's like $3 million or $4 million, that would come out of the city's budget. Mm-hmm. And policemen should have insurance too, or at least high risk policemen, you know. But that's a whole nother show. But I agree 100%. We insure what we care about. You said two profound things that I'm going to make a t-shirt out of and sell them on our store.
Awesome. Just give me credit.
I just did. Hey, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand.
The Shaw, WAUK. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll get you ready for the Packers home opener as they get set to host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, plus a visit with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
It's our Fox River Day is on September 21st. Enjoy special events to celebrate, protect, and restore the health of the Fox River, including shoreline yoga, a flower blessing ceremony, art and music making, a kayak workshop, and then enjoy dancing, eating, socializing, and of course, beer at the Oktoberfest event starting at noon. You can also participate in Das Bags tournament, watch a blacksmith demonstration, or watch the Mass Krugstemmenstein holding competition. For more information and tickets, visit friendsofthefoxriver.org.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day, 50% savings at Inventor's Brew Pub in Port Washington. Savor the last days of summer with delicious bites and drinks from their innovative menu, all while soaking in the view.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.